Chapter 20. For a few hours the bungalow had been beautiful. Orange and crimson and violet flames lit up the night sky. Showers of golden sparks flew upwards as the fire danced and played on the dying house. Then it was over, and there was nothing left, only grey ash and those strange objects which survived disasters. The nozzle of a flick gun, a splintered wash basin, and in what had been Mr. Carter's study, a single eye, cracked by the heat, staring creepily at the heavens. So when Finn sailed back down the Negro at dawn, he saw no flames and heard no roaring as the house was destroyed. Everything at first seemed as it always had done. The big trees by the river, the huts of the Indians, the Carter's launch riding at anchor. Then the dog, standing beside him, threw back his head and howled. "What is it?" asked Finn. But now he too smelled the choking, lingering smell of smoke, and as he sailed towards the landing stage, he saw it, the space, the nothingness where the Carter's house should have been, not even an empty shell, nothing. He had thought that the news of his father's death was the worst thing that had happened to him, but this was worse, because he was to blame. If he had taken Maya as she had begged, he was shivering so much that it was difficult to steer the Arabella. Then there was no point in searching the ruins. It was so obvious that no one could survive such a blaze. But there was one last hope. The huts of the Indians had been spared. Perhaps they had got Maya out. Perhaps he would find her sleeping there. He pushed open the door of the first hut and went inside, then the second and the third. They were completely empty. Even the parrot on his perch had gone, even the little dog. A broken rope and the run outside showed where the pig, terrified by the flames, had run back into the forest. There was no doubt now in Finn's mind. They had let Maya burn and fled in terror and in shame. What would it be like, Finn wondered, going on living and knowing that he had killed his friend? The howler monkeys had been right to laugh when he said he wasn't going back. He turned down river again, almost at once to fetch Maya, and he had made good time travelling with the current, but he had been too late. Finn went outside again and stood on the square of the raked gravel that had been the Carter's garden. His mind seemed to have stopped working. He had no idea what to do. Should he go to Manhouse and see if he could find anything out from the hospitals, perhaps? After a while, he found himself walking back along the river path to where he had left the Arabella. As he came to a fork in the path which led back to the forest, the dog put his head down excitedly into a parched leaf mould. Finn pushed him aside and saw a smear of blood. And then a little way off, another and another. He almost fell over. She lay so still, hidden in the hidden creepers, almost as if she had burrowed into the forest to die. But she was not dead. She lay stunned, still in her nightdress, breathing lightly with her closed eyes. The blood came from a gash on her legs. He could see no burns on her skin. She must have fainted from loss of blood. Then he said her name. She opened her eyes. One hand went out to his sleeve. "Can we go now?" she whispered. And he answered yes. Maya opened her eyes and saw the canopy of the trees and shining through the topmost leaves a high white sun. She could smell the rich, heady smell of orchids and hear the birds who were singing with their piercing cry came clearly over the puttering sound of an engine. Then an overhanging tree started to disappear. She was looking up at a pale, clear sky, and the light was suddenly so dazzling she had to close her eyes because she did not want to wake up. She wanted what was happening to her to go on and on and on forever. She was laying on a ground sheet on the bottom of the boat. They were moving steadily through the water, not fast, not slowly, the perfect speed to lull her back to sleep. She was covered by a grey blanket. She pushed it off and saw her leg was bandaged. It throbbed, but not unpleasantly. It seemed to belong to someone else. She closed her eyes and she slept again. When she woke once more, she found it that something was resting against her, snoring gently, the dog, the colour of dark sand. So then she turned her head and saw behind her Finn, sitting quietly at the stern with his hand on the tiller, and knew she was on the Arabella and she was safe. It was the Indian side of Finn that had taken over when he found her in the woods. They managed to carry her to the landing stage and lay her down on the Arabella. He bandaged her leg, made her swallow one of his bark potions, and then he cast off, telling her to sleep and sleep and sleep. Sometimes the European side of him protested and told him he ought to take her back to hospital for proper treatment, but he took no notice. He knew now what was best for Maya, and he was right, for now, as she woke beside him and her dog, she was herself again. The fear and exhaustion had gone from her face. "I'm hungry," she said, and smiled at him. She had escaped through the high window. The gash on her leg was made by broken glass as she scrambled through. The doors were already smouldering when she woke. I don't remember much after that. It was the smoke, I think. I know there wasn't anyone in the huts. "Why not?" said Finn fiercely. "They promised they'd look after you." "There was a wedding, an important one. They all went. And Minty, she went somewhere too," said Maya. "She left me." "No." "What do you mean, no? She wasn't there. She didn't come back for a day off." "Maybe. But she won't have left you. That isn't what will have happened." "What about the others?" "They escaped. I saw the river ambulance take them away, but I hid. I couldn't bear to be with them any more. They were all quarrelling and screaming, so I hid in the trees. I didn't notice my leg at first, but then..." She shook her head. "But it doesn't matter, Finn. None of it matters, because you came back for me."